The Tour de France bicycle race is a big deal in Europe, kind of like the Super Bowl is here. It's not such a big deal in America unless there's an American near the top. Lance Armstrong brought a lot of Tour de France excitement to the nation in the 90s, and so did the guy who preceded him as the first American to win the three-week race across France. That was Greg LeMond in 1986, and he won it three times. Former Washington Post correspondent Daniel Divise came through Spokane recently to talk about his new book about LeMond and LeMond's effect on cycling in America.
I shouldn't be laughing, but Greg got shot and nearly died in a hunting accident in April of 1987, just as he was about to go back and defend his title. And that was a little squib in the papers, and those of us who were following his career were sort of shocked. And then he vanished. And then a couple of years passed, and he sort of resurfaced and came back and was suddenly on top again, seemingly out of nowhere, and proceeded into what became, for a lot of people, the greatest and most gripping Tour de France of them all in 1989.
And then we saw him again during on TV during Lance Armstrong's departure, so to speak, where he was talking about his views that he thought Lance had been doping, if I remember all this right.
Yeah. No, you're right. What happened was when Lance burst onto the scene, immediately a lot of the European press and fans who were very seasoned followers of cycling, they knew that doping was rampant. They'd just come out of a big scandal. I think the Festina affair, it was called, in 98. And Lance won his first tour in 99. And they were all, I think at that point, maybe assuming that the top cyclists might be doping until it was proven otherwise, if anything. So it was immediately a subject of debate among the cycling insiders. Now, Greg LeMond was a cycling insider. If you want to make a baseball comparison, he was like Hank Aaron, the retired great, and here was Barry Bonds, the new home run king. So everybody, of course, wanted to know, what does Hank Aaron think about Barry Bonds? And Greg was very careful in what he said. He heard all these rumors, that all the rumors the Europeans were hearing, but he was very careful. And finally, in 2001, I think he felt that he had no choice but to sort of say what was on the minds of a lot of people at the center of the sport, which is, maybe this is a fraud, you know. And let me be clear, it wasn't just Armstrong. I mean, if Lance were sitting here, he'd tell you almost all of his chief rivals at one point or another have either admitted doping or have been caught doping. And in Lance's mind, looking back, he was just trying to compete with them in every respect, right? But for Greg to make this statement was a huge deal. It rocked the cycling world. It put him on television and in the public eye in a way that he hadn't been for a long time. Here was, again, to carry on this analogy, Hank Aaron calling out Barry Bonds. It would be a big deal in baseball, and it sure was a big deal in cycling.
What, was LeMond ever the subject of rumors like that?
LeMond's era was a more innocent time. I sometimes call it the breaking away era. Those of us who followed cycling in the 70s and 80s, it was a wonderful time. Now, cycling has had dope in it since the beginning. Cyclists in these six-day bicycle races back at the turn of the century would take any kind of substance that would keep them on their feet or on their bikes, because they were pedaling for, 144 hours straight. So they would take strychnine and cocaine and ether and anything, just anything that would keep them moving. So I think the sport was somewhat jaded toward that sort of behavior and drinking gentlemanly ales and that sort of stuff. By the time Greg comes around, there's a lot of amphetamines in cycling, just as I think there were in baseball and some other sports.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And there's corticosteroids during his era, which is, the cyclists now say that was like aspirin. It wasn't, none of these things could turn you into a champion if you were just a punter. But yeah, there was dope around. It wasn't really decisive. And so when people look back on the 80s, the first thing they're going to ask is not, was this guy doping? It's sort of irrelevant. But it has been widely, almost universally considered over the years that Greg was clean. Everybody seems to think he was clean. He certainly has said that he was clean. I spent many months pondering this question, and I found no credible evidence that he doped.
Was he eager that you were writing about him, or?
Imagine what it would be like if somebody who you didn't know contacted you out of the blue and said, I want to write a book about you.
Yeah.
Well, first you'd probably think they were a loony. And once, you know, you were convinced that there weren't a stalker or something, it would be a pretty big deal to try to deal. What am I supposed to do with this information? Well, I approached them and I sort of established who I was and my credentials. And what I told them the first time I met with them, which was for a weekend in Minneapolis a few years ago, I assured them that if they would give me some help, which they agreed to do, that I would do my best to work around them as much as I could. They're busy, busy people. They're huge celebrities in their universe, their small universe of cycling, so they're always in huge demand. I said, I'll work around you guys. I will interview all of your friends, all of your loved ones. Just don't stop me, don't thwart me, but allow me to do my job. And by the time I come back to you, which I think I met up with them again some months later, I'll have some questions, but I won't need to know your whole life story because I'll know most of it already. And so I worked around them in that spirit for a couple of years, and I got enough cooperation and help from them. And I would say it was enthusiastic that by the time the book was done, you know, Greg's voice and his hand, his influence was all over it. And he'd helped me correct things. He'd helped me set some stuff straight. The story of the horrifying sexual abuse to which he was subjected as a child, I guess had never really been told correctly. So he walked me through it, you know, very painfully, and we set it straight.
Daniel Devizet is the author of The Comeback, Greg LeMond, the True King of American Cycling and a Legendary Tour de France. He read from his book recently in Spokane. Inland journalist, Spokane Public Radio's weekly public affairs program. You can hear the program online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thank you for your support and thank you for listening. I'm Doug Nadvornik.